Next is the Sunday Feasts lecture, given on March 17, 1996, in Saranagati.
Translation. Whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer or give away, and whatever austerities you perform, do that, O son of Kunti, as an offering to me. Purport. Thus it is the duty of everyone to mold his life in such a way that he will not forget Krishna in any circumstance. Everyone has to work for maintenance of his body and soul together. And Krishna recommends herein that one should work for him. Everyone has to eat something to live, therefore he should accept the remnants of foodstuffs offered to Krishna. Any civilized man has to perform some religious, ritualistic ceremonies. Therefore, Krishna recommends, do it for me. And this is called archana. Everyone has a tendency to give something in charity. Krishna says, give it to me. And this means that all surplus money accumulated should be utilized in furthering the Krishna consciousness movement. Nowadays, people are very much inclined to the meditational process, which is not practical in this age, but if anyone practices meditating on Krishna 24 hours a day by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra round his beads, he is surely the greatest meditator and the greatest yogi, as substantiated by the 6th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharane Nirvishesha Sanyavani Pastitari Satarani. This is a very important verse for the active person. Sometimes say the karmi. There are a number of verses in Bhagavad Gita where Krishna recommends the perfection of life or the method of Krishna consciousness for particular kinds of persons. This is the perfection for the active person, to do whatever he's doing, but do it for Krishna. The other persons are the yogi, specifically meaning the person who practices Ashtanga yoga. So he should, the goal of that yoga should be nothing impersonal or to gain particular powers or cities, but to understand Krishna in the heart and worship him. As Prabhupada refers in the purport here, the end of the 6th chapter, Yoginam api sarvesham mahankataram saratmanam. And then the person who is a philosopher, his perfection of knowledge acquiring is Bahunam Janmanamante Gyanavan Man Papajite Vasudeva Sarmit. To come to the understanding philosophically that Krishna is everything. That's the highest knowledge. So those are different paths, the path of yoga, the path of jnana or knowledge. And those particular verses, they're like peak expressions or conclusions. So this one is for the active person. So who isn't active? Everyone has to do things to live. But generally, our activity is because of our bondage. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna teaches that all living beings are eternal spirit souls, and all living beings in this world, however, are covered over, and they don't know their identity. We misidentify with the particular body we have, and we direct all our thoughts and activities to trying to be happy in terms of bodily sense gratification, which actually means struggling to overcome all the different things that are impediments to us. So it's a struggle. And Maya, in charge of the conditioned souls, very expertly, punishes us, and gives us some illusory hope that we will be happy or we are happy. But it's always a struggle. So Krishna teaches the Bhagavad Gita to deliver human beings from this perpetual struggle which goes on not just in one lifetime, but life after life. Teach us our constitutional position. We were eternal servants of Krishna, the Supreme Lord. And develop that and simultaneously give up all attachment to this body and this material world. And at the end of life, which happens soon enough, the perfected soul goes back home, back to Godhead. So that's the program for success for the conditioned soul. But as we said, since he's come here with wrong attitudes and wrong designations, he's very busy doing various things which entangle him more and more. So this verse is a great boon to the active person for how to become Krishna conscious. If you tell him or her to stop these various activities that you're doing, that will be an impossible proposal. This is called this dynamic is called Varupa Goswami Yukta Vairagya. He has a verse, Anasaktasya Vishayan Yitarham Apayanjita Nibandha Krishna Sambandha Yukta Vairagya Uchite. This is a very profound, active principle of Krishna consciousness, which isn't found in other transcendental paths, such as the path of renunciation and meditation, whereby a person is advised to stop material desires by withdrawing from them as much as possible, living in a lonely place, reducing all the eating, sleeping, and other activities, leading a life of extreme renunciation in order to detach yourself from material identification. That's very, very difficult for people to follow. So this Yukta Vairagya teaches us that material drives that you have, material tastes, or inclinations that you have, they can all be converted to methods of spiritual practice whereby you advance. But on the surface, it sounds a little contradictory. Such a free license to do things which normally cause you to be entangled. How is it that by doing them in a certain way, they won't be entangling? But it is when rightly done, it works. And it's based on sound philosophy and shastra. The philosophy is that everything belongs to Krishna. Everything is Krishna's energy. You may call some material and some spiritual, but since it comes from Krishna, it's all spiritual because he's all spiritual. So that which we call material, it's just a certain attitude we take towards things. And that attitude is to try to enjoy things, to try to exploit things. Then they become material. So to give up material attachment, which causes karma and rebirth, doesn't mean simply to physically distance yourself from it, because mentally you may still be desiring that thing. But it means to give up the attitude of trying to enjoy things apart from Krishna, and to do everything as service to Krishna. So under the guidance of the spiritual master and based on his principle, an active person can do what comes naturally to him. And these are deep-rooted things, these psychophysical tendencies. They form our identification or our belonging to a particular varna and ashram. And they're very much a part of our conditioned life. So to use them while they're present to help, to impel us to go forward in spiritual life is a brilliant method. So it is based on the sound and understanding, as expressed in this verse, anasaktasya vishayan. Rupa Goswami, the verse, there are two verses together, and they mean, they strongly assert the point that not only this is an option, but this must be done. That is, if you take an attitude towards various things in the material world that they should be given up, and they have no connection to Krishna because you want to renounce them, then that is an incomplete renunciation. You have made a mistake in renouncing these things. But rather, you should understand that they belong, they are part of Krishna's energy. If you have the higher understanding that they should be used in Krishna's service, you're a higher renunciate. You become a more successful renunciate also. The other renunciate, he's called Phalgu Vairagya. Vairagya means to renounce. So Yukta Vairagya means you attain renouncement by linking up the material activity or material desire in service to Krishna. Phalgu Vairagya refers to a river in India, Phalgu, which is dry, looks like there's no water there, but it runs underneath. So that means that the person has externally given up various material activities, but it's still running, the desire is still there, running underneath. So he's not as secure or complete in his renunciation. Now, there are guidelines for this. I remember once a little Prabhupada anecdote about it that came to mind. Well, when Prabhupada visited Los Angeles early in the 1970s, but things were already developing there, when they had the incense business, they had a big warehouse for spiritual sky incense. So they had a big warehouse space. They were moving boxes, and then Prabhupada was up in the office, and you could look down to the warehouse, and he was very pleased with all the activity, which it looked like a big business going on. And he said, he quoted this verse, and I believe he said it should be put on the wall, because he saw that this was working, that the desire for making money, the intelligence to organize and engage people's active life for Krishna in a very way very important for the Krishna consciousness movement was being carried out, and so he said this is the principle of Krishna consciousness. He used to encourage people, non-devotees, first coming to the temple in his early days in New York City when he was in a Bowery loft. He would speak about dovetailing your consciousness with the Supreme Consciousness. And of course, especially to people who have not made any commitment to Krishna consciousness, you can't start laying down heavy rules and regulations, tell them what they can't do, they have to give this up and that up. And so he was just encouraging them that whatever they were doing, they could do it for Krishna. That if you're a musician or you're a poet, which many of them were, especially musicians, you can just do what you're doing for Krishna. And he referred to the feasting, because they had just prepared a feast. And he said, is there any difficulty in what we did? He said, not at all. He said, will you experience any difficulty in dovetailing your consciousness? Nothing, not a pinch. He would emphasize the ease of it and make it attractive, which it is. But there are guidelines also. And one of them is mentioned later in a purport. I'll just read a little excerpt from it. The verse is 1857. Krishna says, in all activities, just depend upon me and work always under my protection. In such devotional service, be fully conscious of me. In this purport, Prabhupada says that what you have to do is get some work and understand that this work has been given to you by Krishna. He gives a phrase which is like a mantra or a prayer for the worker to think, I have been appointed to discharge this particular duty by Krishna. So while you work during the day, you should be able to think like that. In the morning we may pray, chant on our beads, we may read scripture, but we can't do this all the time. First of all, we have to maintain our bodies and souls, our families, our houses, and so on. But even if we could, who could chant all the time? Although he says if you did that, you'd be the greatest meditator 24 hours a day. But who has that spiritual taste? So you work. You have to do something. You want to do something. You work or you play. You act. You do. So while you're doing your work, you think, I've been given this work to do by Krishna, or I have been appointed to discharge this particular duty by Krishna. And then that work becomes purified, even though it appears to be material activity. But here's the guide. While acting in such a way, one naturally has to think of Krishna. This is perfect Krishna consciousness. One should, however, note that after doing something whimsically, he should not offer the result to the Supreme Lord. That sort of duty is not in the devotional service of Krishna consciousness. One should act according to the order of Krishna. This is a very important point. That order comes through the cyclic succession from the bona fide spiritual master. So, not any damn thing is service to Krishna. But that confidence and that factual situation of being able to say, I'm doing this for Krishna, that has to be done through Krishna's instruction in Bhagavad Gita or taught by Krishna's representative to you. And then Yukta Vairagya will work. But Yukta Vairagya is very strong, very durable. It enables one to do almost anything and not be contaminated. And it gives one courage. And especially it enables us to work out these strong propensities that we have in particular ways and to purify ourselves by doing it. I would like to read another reference to this. I'm sure the points are already clear to you, and I'll stop in a little while. Maybe there's some questions or discussions about the theory and how to apply it. But let's look at another reference. Narada Muni teaches this to Srila Vyasadeva in the first canto. There's a number of verses on it, and it's in the fifth chapter. He starts in saying that the best remedial measure for removing all troubles and miseries is to dedicate one's activities to the service of the Supreme Lord, Personality of Godhead. So getting back to, I was stating the ABC of Bhagavad Gita, which describes our predicament. That is, we're pure souls, but now we're cycling in repeated birth and death, suffering miseries. So this Yukta Vairagya, it's not just a good way to exercise your propensities, but this is the way to solve the great problem of life, how to get liberation and go back to Godhead. Narada is saying the best way to do it is to dedicate your activities to the service of the Supreme Lord, Personality of Godhead. Then in the purport, Prabhupada mentions so many different careers and or propensities and how they should be used. If one is a learned scholar, scientist, philosopher, poet, then he says what they should do, how they should serve Krishna. Through their different presentations, they should show the supremacy of the Supreme Lord rather than deny God. If you're an administrator, statesman, warrior, politician, then you establish the Lord's supremacy in your statesmanship. If you're a businessman, industrialist, agriculturalist, then you should spend your money or your produce in the service of the Lord. And then he says, That's the way to realize the Lord in every sphere of life. The best thing is, after all, to get relief from all material activities and engage oneself completely in hearing the transcendental pastimes of the Lord. So this seems to indicate that an even higher platform would be not to be attached to any particular work or be engaged in any in the material world, just chant and hear about Krishna. The best thing is, after all, to get relief from all material activities. But in case of the absence of such an opportunity, one should try to engage in the service of the Lord everything for which one has specific attraction, and that is the way of peace and prosperity. So this verse in Bhagavad Gita, Yad Karosi Yad Ashnasi, whatever you do, do it for Krishna. It may be said that this is not pure devotional service. This is karma yoga. Higher would be that you don't say, yes, I'm a businessman, so I'll give my money to Krishna. I'm a writer, so I'll write a book for Krishna. I'm a painter, I'll paint for Krishna. But you ask Krishna, what do you want me to do? Whatever you want me to do is my desire. I have no desire that I come to you with. So, admitted, as Prabhupada says, the best thing is just to hear about Krishna. But in the absence of such an opportunity, so most of us, in the absence of such an opportunity, one should engage in the service of the Lord everything for which one has a specific attraction. So you already have this attachment to raising a family, to being a businessman, to being an artist, to being an agriculturalist, whatever it is. So this is a great obstacle, because it's a material designation and it's causing you karma for working so hard as a businessman, for worrying about your children, trying to be an artist. You'll have to take another life so that you can do better at that, do more of that, because you're thinking of that all the time. And then at the time of death, you're thinking of it, and next life you'll be born again in that way. And maybe you've committed sinful activity in order to try to get ahead in that attachment, and then you'll have to fall down in lower species. So these specific attractions are upadis, the impurities, designations. But he says the best thing is to use them in the service of Krishna. So it is not a criticism of the verse or of the process of Yukta Vairagya to say that, it's really, there's a higher standard. But this is the way to get to the highest standard, rather than Phalgu Vairagya. So Narada teaches, he says to Vyasadeva, O good soul, does not a thing applied therapeutically cure a disease which was caused by the very same thing? And the example Prabhupada gives is, an expert physician treats his patient with a therapeutic diet. For example, milk preparation sometimes causes disorder of the bowels, but the very same milk converted into curd and mixed with some other remedial ingredient cures such disorders. So you took too much milk, that made you sick. Medicine is milk in another form. So again, you're bound up because of your material propensity, your particular attraction to this world. The relief is, use that attraction in the service of Krishna. Then Narada says, thus, when all a man's activities are dedicated to the service of the Lord, those very activities which cause his perpetual bondage become the destroyer of the tree of work. It's not only liberating to a person, but this enables devotees to engage in so many ways also to advance the cause of Krishna consciousness in the movement and render Krishna service in many ways. Not that we, out of fear, have to stay back from all kinds of engagement in the material world while the demons and non-devotees, while they take it over and manipulate it and control it, and the devotees and the innocent people in general can never benefit by seeing these things transform into Krishna consciousness. I had an experience when we were about to purchase some buildings that are now the buildings of Dallas ISKCON. We purchased them originally for the Gurukul. So I was the temple president then, And we entered into some prolonged negotiations with the Christian church who owned these buildings. And it got quite entangling. They had to keep meeting, and then they would go to the real estate people, and then we would hear what the church people wanted. And then some of them didn't want to sell it to Hare Krishna. And then, of course, everyone was trying to cheat and get money. I was naive and trying to learn how to deal with the real estate. But at the same time, I was thinking, this is Maya. What am I doing dealing with real estate instead of just reading the scriptures and trying to be a devotee? I think I'm doing this. My motive isn't right. I'm just trying to be a controller and a big real estate manipulator. So I wrote to Prabhupada about it, that I was afraid of my involvement in purchasing the temple. And he wrote back, he said something like, "You're a sincere boy," or something like that. So, in other words, your motive is right. So, don't be afraid to go ahead and do this. Then he said, the Mayavadis, they're afraid to work with the material energy. Do not be affected by the Mayavad philosophy at any time. So, by his letter, I thought that rather than my fault was not to think I was becoming a real estate man, but in backing out, I was becoming a Mayavadi. So that put more fear in my heart than the other, and I went forward and rolled up my sleeves and called up the guy and said, "No, we want 8%." Realized that doing this was service to Krishna, because it was authorized by the spiritual master. And of course, there are many other guidelines. One doesn't. The material nature is dangerous, and we have to be careful how we work with such. Just like you work with fire, but you have to be very careful, and you have to protect yourself, and you do your sadhana and everything. But it's part of the devotional life to purify yourself in this way. I have another quote, which I think I'll save, kind of round things out after we have some discussion, by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, who says the same things but in his own language. We can hear that a little later. But now, if there's any questions or comments about this, I think I don't know. Yes? Well, there are a number of things. We read how one shouldn't do things whimsically and offer it to Krishna, but should do what Krishna says and follow the spiritual master. Now, so that's a practical thing. You should have a relationship with experienced devotees who do know these things. What may seem a problem to you, can I do this or not, would be obvious that it might be a forbidden thing, or that it's something that you can go ahead on. So take advice from others. But also, you yourself, the more you learn what Krishna consciousness is and what it isn't, then you'll be able, that area, you'll still always have to agonize, should I do it or not. There'll be some trial and error. But it's not like you'll be in such ignorance as to whether something can be yukta vairagya or is something to be avoided. The more you, the first two principles of saranagati are, of surrender, to do what's favorable for Krishna consciousness and to avoid what's unfavorable. But this presumes that you have some understanding of what Krishna consciousness is. What's favorable? I'm supposed to do what's favorable. Well, what is favorable? What's unfavorable? You have to learn by hearing the books and by your own realization. What makes you Krishna conscious? Do that. What is unfavorable for your Krishna consciousness, don't do that. So you can see. If you enter a certain line of work, but it just drains you, and by association with the material energy, you become more and more unenthusiastic to perform Krishna consciousness. Well, that's not good then. And then Yukta Vairagya is not working. So it should be good results, and it should be perceivable. You should feel satisfied. There should be a good result that others benefit from also. And those who are like gurus to you or senior to you, those who are like-minded and who you trust, they encourage you. There'll be indications like that. But this is good. This is right. And from the evidence that we've just introduced, we see that certainly the principle is a sound one. That work for which you have a specific attraction may be used in Krishna consciousness to free you from all attachments. Yeah, that's right. Material energy can be converted into spiritual, and spiritual can be reconverted back into material. Like some of these things, they sound revolutionary or innovative. That things that normally you think of as material, oh, now they're being done for Krishna. So it's amazing, but it's true. It's happening. But then some of the things which are clearly spirit are more clearly spiritual. They're always spiritual. They would seem to be done for no reason except for service to Krishna. They also can be entered into the wrong motive. An example is prasadam. If you prepare and eat prasadam just to enjoy palatable food and you eat too much, then your consciousness is not pure consciousness. Now you can get technical and say, well, is the prasadam prasadam? Of course, if you take temple prasadam and you abuse it in that way, you still get good effect because it's prasadam. But it could be also that it's not even prasadam. If you take something and you're just thinking of sense gratification, then a Krishna doesn't even have to accept it. So, yeah, even those things which would activities of bhakti, pure bhakti, when they're done in an impure way, at least they don't have the pure potency. When the devotee is mixed, then the devotional service is mixed. The holy name is even mixed. Bhaktivinoda Thakura says, when you don't chant with devotion, you're not chanting Sudanam, or real name, a pure name. You're just chanting the alphabet, or the outer form of the name. Material energy can be converted into spiritual, and spiritual may revert back into material. The relationship with the guru can become material. And so on. Therefore, we say everything is attitude, everything is consciousness. We like to explain to the non-devotee what spirit is and what matter is. And I remember giving examples and saying, you know, these musical instruments, this is just some brass cymbals, hand cymbals. But we play them always just to glorify Krishna. So this is spirit. This is spiritual. So this is sometimes surprising to people who don't know, because they think of spirit as something incorporeal or invisible like that. Spirit, God is a spirit, and matter is what you see and touch. And so here we tell them, no, this is spirit. The harmonium is spirit. The food is spirit. Oh, so we understand that this is a dynamic thing, Krishna, bhakti yoga. But these things are not material. The candle, the spiritual candle, is burning on Krishna's altar. Otherwise, if your consciousness is for something else, you have your candle for your romantic dinner with your girlfriend, and it's a lusty candle. So the candle is the candle. Well, Prabhupada used to say that there's a flower, and he said, you know, you can pick that flower. Again, he said, for your girlfriend, or you can pick it for Krishna. He said, the flower is there, the person is there, the smelling capacity is there, everything is there in either case, but in one case, it's sense gratification, in one case, for Krishna. So the thing is the consciousness by which you do something. Otherwise, everything is spiritual, but the wrong consciousness makes it material, the right consciousness recovers it. Money is not bad. That we say money, or desire for money, is the root of all evil. But we also say money is honey for the liberated soul. He can use money in the service of Krishna. It's not bad. A thing is not bad.
Can you use this example to prove again how powerful one individual is? But when you speak to this movement, you say some people who arrive without no spiritual qualification and no material qualification, and after that, we see them 5 years after they become very prominent preachers, book distributors, and they can maintain their family and can you use this example to prove what you are saying?
Yeah, that's like a life example or a case history. It's like a psychiatrist does. When he teaches you his theories, he tells you, well, I had one patient who came and he had this problem, and he taught like this, and he did this, and he became successful. So we have so many case histories like that. So how is it that the person who is materialistic, or as you're saying, he doesn't even have material abilities, but now he's doing so many things. So Krishna gives him intelligence how to do these things in his service. As far as that's concerned, Krishna consciousness expertise is usually done by learning on the job. You learn different skills. You learn how to live at Saranagati and by doing things here. And as you do them in Krishna's service, it's your devotional service, and you also become materially fit and expert to do it. So, yeah, that expertise, it's not really material expertise, it's the expertise of a devotee. You can say he's materially expert. Some devotees may not be so materially expert, but then whatever they do for Krishna, Krishna is pleased with that. So we have different capacities and different expertise, but yes, the success of devotees in learning how to do things and becoming able to manage things or distribute books or do whatever they do is evidence of the Yukta Vairagya spirit. Nice point. Now you could say, well, if he didn't do it for Krishna, he would have been expert anyway. Maybe not. He might have been a failure and never done it very well. But that's a moot point. Even if he is materially expert, it's still Shrama Evahi Kevam is useless. That he became an expert politician or an expert artist or family man, but he wasn't Krishna conscious. And what good is the material development? It causes his bondage. But the devotee, he has the satisfaction of doing work and learning to do work well. But at the same time, he becomes detached from the results because he offers everything to Krishna. Of course, it's, even now, while we're acting on that platform, doing the things that we like to do or have a propensity to do, it's being done for Krishna. And we may not have full realization of that, but that goal is already present in our consciousness to the degree that we're sincere and progressive. We already have sight of it. Otherwise, then we're just doing material work. But even now, although it may be tinged with some attachment, that work itself is purifying us. In other words, it's not simply like a duality that we're thinking, all right, now I'm doing these things that I have an attraction for, but someday I'll give them up and I'll just chant on my beads. It may come to that you decide, all right, now I won't do this anymore. Like Maharaj Pariksit, he stopped all his work and he just heard about Krishna. But even while you're doing the work, the highest goal has to be inherent in that work, and you're getting some taste for it. That I like he says, I've been given this work to do by Krishna. And the goal is in sight. And then, whatever the work may be, we don't give up the sadhana bhakti practices of chanting and hearing Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, which are pure in essence, just hearing about the spiritual world and Krishna and calling on his holy name. That's for all devotees to do, the basic sadhana. And that puts us on the goal now too. Hearing about great souls, hearing about Krishna. That's the ultimate goal, being with Krishna. So you, by hearing, you hear about the stage that you haven't reached yet. And by working, you at least situate yourself under the direction of pure devotees, and you make progress toward that ultimate goal. So it's going on. Bhakti goes on in the beginning stage, and it matures in the ripe stage. It's not a duality. That this is not bhakti, and then when you get pure, then it's bhakti. It's all pure bhakti. It's unripe pure bhakti and ripe pure bhakti. Prabhupada uses one expression in the purport that in the beginning we are attached to the service, and later we develop love for Krishna himself. So you love your service, and then more and more you love, not just that, I really like to sing kirtan. Now that's not sense gratification. But later it is focused more that I love Krishna, and Krishna is in his holy name. And so you may continue to sing. It's not that now I stop singing kirtan. But now you do it with more realization. There's also that principle that Vishwanath Chakravarti talks about different state. We're talking about different stages of higher and higher. So he talks about taste, ruchi, and lower ruchi, taste for Krishna, is that the material arrangements have to be nice and aesthetic, and then you feel the taste when the kirtan is melodic, when the prasadam is well prepared, when the deity is beautifully dressed, and you feel higher thoughts of inspiration in the divine. But the higher ruchi is, it doesn't matter whether it's materially aesthetic or not. If it's Harinam, it's Harinam, and you feel the taste because of the Krishna, not because it was nicely arranged. So, not to disparage nice arrangements, we need it. Prabhupada said that this temple, the incense and the flowers, he said it's groundwork for ecstasy, it produces ecstasy. It appeals to the senses. The senses are going to have to be engaged anyway. So do it all in Krishna's service. We shouldn't be cynical towards this psychological arrangement. You could even call it a trick. It's like a trick by Krishna, how to engage a businessman to give up his attachment. But we need to be tricked or coerced or enthused into serving Krishna now with our propensity. Well, we may know, as you're hinting at you're asking, well, what about the higher stage where there is no just dovetailing, but it's all pure? So that will come, and there is such a thing, and we're progressing toward it. But this is a very healthy and safe process, rather than to try to do it without working through active activity. Yet paroti, yet ashnasi. Do it for me. Any ladies? Let me read this nice statement by Bhakti Swami Saraswati. The knowledge that is received at the university or from physical nature may promote greater synthesis, analysis, and development of the experience of this mundane world. We do not propose to discard the knowledge that is imparted by the university, but we propose to ascertain the relation of Godhead with the same. To discard such knowledge is the barren form of renunciation, Phalgu Vairagya. We learn from the teaching of Sriman Mahaprabhu, quote, "The discarding of entities that are related to Hari by the liberationist under the misapprehension that they are mundane is called barren abnegation. The different branches of mundane knowledge are being applied in an improper way by mankind who have their faces turned away from Krishna. It is as if ornaments for the ear are being worn on the feet." So by that striking analogy, it doesn't mean that because the earrings are on the feet that you say, "Oh, that's horrible, throw it away." But take it and put it where it belongs. It is as if ornaments for the ear are being worn on the feet. It is necessary to admit the real utility of every entity. Extreme attachment to things of this world and extreme aloofness from all worldly concerns are equally removed from the function of the servant of Godhead. The servant of Godhead should cultivate affinities with all entities on Krishna's sole account. Yeah, Prabhupada was like that. There's a song by Narottam Das Thakur. He says, anger and fear and greed, very undesirable things, they can all be engaged in the service of Krishna. So greed for Krishna is to want everything to be engaged in Krishna's service. And Prabhupada was like that. He saw buildings and he said, "Oh, that could be a temple." And he wanted things to be used by Krishna. So in our own little way, whatever capacity we have, we should at least transform ourselves and our desires and be active in Krishna consciousness and burn up material desires 24 hours a day. Okay, I think I'll stop here. Thank you very much. Shri Prabhupada ki jai.